There shall be showers of blessing. Even me, Lord. You know, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If someone just sang that hymn from the heart. Lord, I hear the showers of blessing. Would you let drops fall on me? Pass me not, O tender Savior. That's a great hymn. John 5, as said, the Lord is speaking. Verse 16 says the Jews sought to slay him. They thought he had broken the Sabbath. And he's speaking to them primarily, okay? He's speaking to them. And all that he said talked about, you have not the love of God in you. You have not the word of God in you. And you don't receive the witness. But now his disciples were standing there too. All right? They were standing there. They were listening. And they believed everything he said. And here's what I want us to marvel at, I hope and pray. That you're one of his disciples. And you hang on his every word. And you believe his every word. And while the world does not, you do. And I want you to see how blessed you are. That you have the love of God in you. If you love Christ, if you love the truth, then the love of God is in your heart. Salvation, God saved you. He's spoken to you. You belong to him. That's what I want us to marvel at. Because most of this is condemnation of these people that are hearing him. Let's begin in verse 23. All men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which hath sent him. Brother Head, we honor Christ just like God, don't we? In fact, we believe he's equal to God. You know how few people believe that? We know he's God. And so we honor him, don't we? That's why we come here, don't we? We come, don't we now? We really do. We come here to honor our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's both. In verse 24, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, or amen, amen. That's what the word means. Aren't you blessed by thinking about that? All the promises of God are in Christ, and they're what? Yea, and that means everything he says is absolute truth. You can hang your soul on it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is already passed from death unto life. I believe. Do you? I really do, don't you? I really do. Well, he says, we've heard his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Hear his word and believe on him. And he says, I have everlasting life. He said there'll be no condemnation. Didn't it? Where is that from? Romans 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation then there in Christ. He is already passed from death unto life. He's going to talk about the resurrection of the just and the unjust. You know, we've already been raised. You know that? The first and second resurrection. We've already been quickened. If you believe God, if you believe Christ, you've already been quickened, raised from the dead. Or you wouldn't hear his voice. Man, I want to see some recognition here. Have you? Do you really believe Jesus Christ? Do you? You've been raised from the dead. And you're passed from death unto life. You'll never die. Never die. And your death is going to be better than birth. So that's Ecclesiastes 7:1. Verily, verily, verse 25, truly, truly, amen, amen. I want to hear some amens. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, him, and live. Some of you love Ezekiel 16, don't you? Don't you love that? let that child cast out into the field in filth, dead and dying, loathing, the loathing of its person, and nobody had any pity on him. Why could they look at that down and out person? But he says, I looked on you. I saw you. I came by where you were. And I said, live. Yea, I said, live. And he said, I washed you and clothed you and decked you and covered you, and you became beautiful through my comeliness. You're mine, he said. He went on to say, you're mine. And she runs off and does this and that and the other, but no, he goes after her. He said, no, you're mine. Oh, God's people love sovereign, electing, saving, keeping grace. Only God's people do. They know if he didn't choose us, we wouldn't choose him. They know if he didn't keep us, we would be forever lost. To the praise of the glory of his grace. As the Father, verse 26, hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In him is life, the way, the truth, and the life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he's given unto him authority. Execute judgment. I love that Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. Don't you? I love. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all what? Flesh. If you really believe that, him, that he has all power over all flesh. David said, I will not, the Lord is my salvation, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Did he say that? I won't believe that. It's true. Amen, amen. Who, what have we need to fear? Who? He has all power. He's the Son of Man. Why does he say that? Because he became man, made of a woman, made under the law, to keep the law for us, but he's God, but he's man. And he came down here to fulfill that law as a man, and he did. This is the second Adam. See, we're in one Adam, or we're in the second Adam. In Adam, all die. Everybody. In Christ, if you're found in Christ, you're going to live. We all sinned in Adam. We're born sinners. We're going to die in sin unless the second Adam dies for us, crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. The Son of Man became a man for men. Marvel not at this. Verse 28. The hour is coming. Now, remember, there's people listening to him that don't believe a word he's saying. And Brother Kelly, we believe everything he says. Are you hanging your soul on everything he says? His disciples on the edge of their seats. Those Pharisees, I can see them now. Stiff neck, hard talk. He ain't going to convince me of nothing. He says, the hour is coming when which all that are in the grave is going to hear his voice. You read Revelation 1:7 with me, didn't you? They'll wail because of him. Well, the world wails because of him. It says, hide us from the face of him on the throne. That's what Scripture said. You know what we're going to say? We're going to shout because of him. We're going to rejoice because of him. And we're going to glory and see in his face. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of the life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the of damnation. In other words, we're going to be judged by works. You're going to be judged by your works or Christ's works. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? If you do, oh my goodness, my good God, he's given you understanding, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by works of righteousness which He hath done. We're going to stand in the judgment because Christ stood before God and man and said, who convinces me of sin? The holy and righteous one, the just one. God said, I'm well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And he says to his people, behold my servant. He's come for you, to keep you, to die for you, to live for you. He's come to give you his righteousness. That's not a doctrine, that's a person, you see. He's come to cover you in his own skin. Like that lamb in the garden covered Adam and Eve. Do you understand that? Do you understand your only hope before an all-seeing God who looks on the heart and you've broken every law and will continue to do so? But your only hope is that God says, I forgive you for Christ's sake. Do you understand that? How blessed you are. They that have done good, they ask Christ, John 6, we'll turn over to John 6, verse 28. These Pharisees, these same ones, they said in verse 28, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And you know what? If you believe him, it's counted unto you for righteousness. Do you like that? Abraham did. He was an idolater for 75 years. An idolater. But God came to him one day. Abraham, I've chose you. I've blessed you. I've revealed myself to you. Now, believe me, Abraham. He said, I do. He said, you're righteous. He never done a righteous thing in his life. The thief on the cross loved that, didn't he? He never done a righteous thing in his life. His whole life was, he was hell-bent, slapping for leather, they call. But God, hanging on that cross, who redeemed him with his own blood. God, yes, God. Looked at him with a look and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? How? He's sinful. He's wretched. No, he's covered in the blood. That's the lamb right beside him. So that's what that means. What he said then. They have done evil. Do you want to be judged by God? By Christ. Christ's the one sitting on the throne. You know that? You want to be judged by him what you've done? Anybody? He knows you. Or you want to be judged, you want to be found in him. Covered. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Meaning, and he already said this, I come, the words I speak are the words of the Father. I'm sent, he said. And as I hear, that is the Father that gave him everything. Now, this is hard to understand how they're one, but he's talking as he became a man. And when it talks about Christ being in submission to meekness and lowliness and giving all glory and honor to the Father, he did that as a man. See, man was, Adam and Eve, Adam was created to glorify God. And he didn't. And no one does by nature. But Christ came as a man in complete submission to God, in complete obedience to God, though he is God. Though he's a son, Hebrews said, learned he obedient by the things he suffered. He became us, he said. We've got to be in submission to God, in obedience to God. We're poor children, aren't we? Not him. So everything he did was for the glory and the honor and submission to God and keeping God's law. He wrote the law, but he kept every jot and tittle of it. You understand? And he said, what we have covenanted to do and say, what for me to say, that's what I'm saying, doing. Because, and he said, my judgment is just, verse 30, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What was God's will for him, Christ, when he came? Well, to glorify God. But chiefly, and the glory of God is in the salvation of sinners. He said, this is the will of the Father, that of those which He has given me, I'd lose nothing. Now at verse 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Over in chapter 8, he said, though I bear witness of myself, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. Are you hearing it? What he's saying is, if I only bear witness of, if I'm the only witness of me, it's not true. Because out of a mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. Right? And he's going to go on to talk about witnesses. And the title of this is The Many Witnesses of Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. There are many witnesses. In fact, the multitude of heavenly hosts give witness unto him. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything that's ever created give witness, bear witness of him. They all speak of Christ. The prophets bear witness of him. The apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, everybody sent by God bear witness of him. The whole universe, everything in it bears witness that who of who that one that came is. God in the flesh. But he's saying, and so that's what he's saying. There's another, verse 32, that beareth witness of me. He's speaking of God. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent to John, he bare witness unto the truth. They went to hear John. So many heard John. What did John preach? Over in John chapter 1 and 2. And 3 is the witness of John. It says he bore witness of the light. He bore witness. Okay. John said, I'm not the Christ. I told you, I'm not the Christ. He it is that cometh after me. He was before me. He it is. The Father hath given all things to the Son. He it is, John. And one day when he was walking, Christ came walking, when John was baptizing, John stopped everything. He said, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what this whole Bible speaks of, okay? It's the beginning in the garden of those two sinners. They needed a lamb slain to cover their sin. And everything all the way through the scripture, and it gets to Revelation. The whole book of Revelation is about a lamb on the throne, victorious, one who died and saved his people, beginning with Adam and Eve. He said, John said, there he is, the Lamb of God, of whom the whole book speaks. And they came and heard John, verse 34, but I received not testimony from man. That chapter 2, Christ said, it says that he didn't need that any should testify of him. He doesn't need man to, bear witness of him, does he? No. Now these things, verse 34, I like this. He said, these things I say that you might be saved. In other words, everything I say is your salvation. He said, you need to be listening. Now this was full of people listening to him that didn't like what he was saying. But there were a few chosen. As I said, they loved what he was saying. These things I say that you might be saved. Over in chapter 6. Chapter 8. Remember when he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? And the people, I don't understand that. It's hard. And finally, many went back and walked no more with him. And he turned to his disciples. He said, there's a door. Will you also go away? And every one of those so-called disciples that left him went back to the world. That's what they went back to. Or religion, same thing. Will you also go away? And Simon Peter said, to whom? He said, thou hast the words of life. Your words are our life. And Christ said, have not I chosen you? You believe that because he chose you. That's why. These things he says might be saved. Read on. John was a burning and shining light. And he's gone. He said, I have greater witness than that of John. Verse 36. The works which the Father hath given me to finish. The same work that I do. Brothers and sisters, our salvation is 100% dependent on Jesus Christ finishing the work. You understand that? And he came and he said, my meat and my drink is to do the will of the Father, to finish the work he gave me to do. What's that? To work out our salvation. To save us. It's all dependent on him. He said, and when he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? His last word. It's finished. And that's my salvation. He said that, didn't he? And I believe it. So he said, I'm saved. Amen. And I read on. He says, the Father, verse 37, himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Remember when he was baptized of John, says the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, in the likeness of a dove, landed on his shoulder. Okay? Declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. The Spirit of God landed on him because he's the anointed one. And then a voice from heaven. God never spoke out loud. God never spoke out loud. But he did that day. And he said, for all to hear, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Do you hear him? You come to him? You worship him? I'll hear you when you call. I'll receive you when you come to me. And I'll let you into my kingdom. That's the one I sent. That's what God was saying. And God, nobody's seen his voice or heard his voice or seen his shape. Verse 38. But he said to these Pharisees, you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, ye believe not. Brothers and sisters, I do. Do you? Do you? Robin, do you? The one that God sent, you believe in? It means his word's abiding in you. His word? Christ in you. The hope of glory. I've said this before. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He that hath the Son hath life. Means he that hath faith in the Son, that Christ is all to him. All their hope. All their salvation. Christ is all their wisdom, right? All their strength. All their just everything. He's their only hope. Peace with God. So he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath a need for the Son. A love for the Son hath life. Okay. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's the word of God. If you open up the heart and the mind of every true believer, it'll be Christ. You ask them their hope. You ask any believer their hope, and they'll give it to you in one word. Christ. Their hope of heaven. What's your hope of heaven? Christ died. That's it. So we believe. And he says in verse 39, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. These Pharisees were, they loved to search the scriptures. And people do today. They study, don't they? They do. I've heard these fellas. They study. They bring out deep things. But I think it's shallow and I think it's foolishness. Because there's no Christ in it. If Christ is not in it, they don't know the scripture, do they? It's true. Do you understand? We search the Scriptures, don't we? We do. We've studied 45 books of the Bible, every verse, some of them more than one, together over the year. And we're continuing to study. What do we see in the Scriptures? Christ. The people all over the world think, well, this is how I'm to live. Well, this is how I'm to live. Well, yes. But, hold on. You do it perfectly? Can you keep it? I was working on a railroad. And this woman, secretary, I went into the office. And she's reading the Bible. And, you know, I was real young at the time. I asked her, do you understand what you're reading? Oh. She got angry at me, like, what do you mean by understand? Of course I do. Another man said, I don't know, have you know I'm a born-again, tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christian. Oh, wow. But she said, I know this. You better keep those Ten Commandments. She said, I know this much. You better keep those Ten Commandments. You know what? She's right. You better. You want to get to God? Now your work, you better. And you better do it in thoughts. You better do it in word. You better do it in deed. You better do it in motive. Completely for the glory of God. You better have clean hands, a pure heart. Never lifted up your soul unto vanity or ever sworn deceitful. You better be perfect. Leviticus 22:21. It shall be perfect to be accepted. You better be as holy as God Himself. As righteous as God Himself. Yeah, you better keep the Ten Commandments. If that's your hope of heaven. You better keep every jot and tittle of it. How about you? There's not a jot or a tittle I haven't broken. How about you? So Christ said, come unto me. I've kept the law. Oh, my. The law is written on our hearts. What does the law do to our hearts? The Word of God is in us. What does the law do? He's a schoolmaster to do what? Bring us to Christ. To point us to Christ. Oh, it's holy and just and true, the law is, and we love His law, but we mourn that we can't keep it. But, well, we rejoice that Christ did, don't we? The world doesn't know a thing about what I'm saying. All these holiness people, Pentecostal holiness people, Reverend Bell doesn't have a clue. Poor woman. She really is a poor, deluded, lost, hell-bound, false prophet. Going to stand before God and say, look at what I have not done and look at what I have done. Bind her hand and foot. And who am I? Who makes you to differ, Mary Park, from her? God. And He said in verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. In John 6, He says, no man can come unto me, lest the Father which hath sent me draw him. Well, who does the Father draw, sister? Huh? Those He loves. I've loved thee, He said, Brenda, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. To where? Christ. You see Christ. Like the sun, when you look at the sun, you see a spot, and everything else, you see spots. Sunspots, light, the glory of God. Or you look in the book, John, don't you see spots? The sun of righteousness with healing His wings, don't you? Not the world. It's dark. It's obscure. But we see Christ on every page, don't we? If we don't, we ask Him, show me. We're so blessed. These words of condemnation of these Pharisees are words of life to me. So you will not come unto me. Bless God, I have. I do. I keep coming. Don't you? To whom coming? Peter said, to whom coming? You know, Peter sinned, denied the Lord. Oh, he thought, I'm lost now. I've denied the Lord. I've reverted right back to that old man that I was when He found me. How could I possibly be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And somebody said, there's Christ on the shore. Who? And he dove out of that man. He couldn't get to him fast enough. Why? Because Christ said, go tell Peter to come to me. No. Sin will not have dominion over him. I have dominion over him. He's coming to me. He came the first time. He's going to keep coming. And I'll never let him go. He'll keep coming. If he leaves, he'll come back. Why? Because Christ is his Lord, his master. He's bought with a price. He's not his own. Is that you? Is that your hope? No matter what you've done, where you've been, the hell hole you've been in, the pit you've found, has he brought you back? He said in verse 41, I receive not honor from men. Oh, bless his name, we do. We honor him. Most men don't. He said, I know you. You have not the love of God in you. I'm come in my Father's name. You receive me not. Another come in his own name. Him will you receive. Isn't that so true? Human beings, it doesn't matter who it is, how foolish, how ridiculous, how obviously for money and their own fame that people just fall over them. And the whole world is going after these so-called celebrities and stars, and they ain't worth the rope it takes to hang them. I'm telling the truth. Our Lord said, it's none good. He looked down on it and said, altogether filthy. Man's in it for his own honor, his own glory, his own praise, his own lust, his own covetousness. Nobody by nature is seeking the honor of God and the glory of God. Nobody. But Christ came. Yes, came for the glory, the honor of God. I'm coming in my Father's name. And he said in verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Everybody that seeks the honor of man, they're going to find it. They're going to find it. Whatever you go after, you can pretty much obtain it. Yeah, you can. If you seek the honor of man, that's what you get. Oh, but God's people. It's not him that approveth of himself that is accepted, of whom God approveth. We want to be accepted in the beloved. No. We want to be received by God. That it doesn't really matter what the world thinks about us, does it? It really doesn't. Does God accept men? And he does in Christ. Don't think, he said, do not think I will accuse you to the Father as one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust. The Word of God. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote of me. Moses did. The law, every law somehow points to Christ, doesn't it? The tabernacle, everything in it, everything throughout the Old Testament, every piece of furniture, everything that the high priest did, everything points to Jesus Christ. And sister, we see that, don't we? We see those things. Aren't we blessed to see that? And the world's still going through all these motions, ceremonies, and all that. That's just so much rubbish. And I believe, and you believe, and we believe, don't we, that Moses wrote of him. And he said in verse 47, he said, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? Well, I believe. We believe, don't we? We believe that Christ is all. All the law, all the prophets, all the good news of the gospel, all the revelation, all this life is salvation. Do you? And you heard his voice. Oh, man. Okay. Brother John, you come. Lead us in a hymn, please.